The following is a presentation of Remnant.
Hi, this is Jerry Gotze, co-pastor of Remnant. Remnant was begun with one goal, to touch people with God's incredible love. My prayer is that this study will comfort you, challenge you, and bring you one step closer to being the person God wants you to be. If this study is helpful or if you need more information, please drop me a line at jerry@remnantchurchonline.com. God bless you, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to a message from Pastor Jerry Gotze.
The title of today's message is Murderers Among Us. Now, as a kid, we used to say there's a fungus among us, but that was something else. Exodus chapter 20, verse 13. By the way, the shortest verse in the Old Testament. And I will endeavor to make it the longest sermon on the shortest verse. No. Exodus 20, 13 simply says, "Thou shalt not murder." Okay. Let's go home. Because we're done. No. In the Hebrew, it literally says, you will do no murder. Do no murder. And again, I don't think anybody here has murdered anybody lately. I know it's been at least 2 or 3 weeks for me. Maybe not. You shall not murder. By the way, when I was going over my PowerPoint this morning, I realized I'd left out the not. And so it said, you shall murder. And I could see the bad things were going to happen this week as you kill your next door neighbor because he, you know, messed up your trash cans. No, Pastor Jerry said I could. No, you don't murder. Here's the thing. We look at it at face value and we say, okay, don't murder. Got that. Let's move on to the next verse. It's not quite that simple for a couple of reasons. First of all, a lot of people are misinterpreting what this means and applying it in places where it doesn't count. And second of all, I think we're not applying it in places where we should. So we're going to talk about that this morning. Let's talk first about what this doesn't include. What doesn't murder include? Well, first of all, it doesn't include the killing of animals. Animal rights activists quote this, say, no, you should not murder, so that includes cats. No, cats really should be all killed. I'm a dog guy. Cats are evil. They really are. They really are cats. They're evil. They don't belong on this planet. They don't. Just cats. Now, here's the thing. If you want to be a vegan or a vegetarian or a pastafarian, I don't know, they've got all these weird things now. Okay, if you want to be that. But don't say that this verse is why. Okay, because it doesn't talk, we don't murder animals, you kill animals. And you eat them for food. And here's the thing. I honestly believe if God didn't want us to eat meat, he would have made it all taste like cottage cheese. I look at a cottage cheese like, no. I don't think God intended to eat cottage cheese. I really don't. I think the devil made up cottage cheese. Oh, no, but I put pineapple in it. I don't care. It's just nasty. Look at Genesis chapter 9, verse 3. It says, everything that lives and moves about will be food for you. Just as I gave you the green plants, now I give you everything. So, if you want to eat cats, you can. Certain parts of the world, they do. I'm telling you, you go in some of those places in Asia, there are no stray animals on the street, except for cows, which I always think is funny because they let rats live all over their house because rats are sacred and they live cows. No. Barbecue that up for a steak. That's good stuff. Jesus ate fish, didn't he? In fact, when he did the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, he broke up the fishes and everybody ate fish. Now, I think that because Jesus was perfect, he probably battered up some of those bad boys and made them with a little tartar sauce. Maybe not. Maybe I added that part. Okay? But here, look, this thou shalt not murder does not apply to animals. Now, if you're just killing animals because you like to, there are laws against that. And, you know, we go out every now and then on calls where some guy shot his neighbor's dog or something. You're not allowed to do that. But if we're talking about eating meat, hunting and eating meat for, or killing an animal for food, That's not what this applies to. Okay? Second place, this is going to be a little controversial, capital punishment. The execution of criminals for the crime of murder is biblical. It's not a sin. Exodus 21:12, anyone who strikes a person with a fatal blow is to be put to death. Okay? Now, that's the Old Testament law, and we don't live under the Old Testament law anymore. Jesus was the completion of that law. But there's a little bit more there. Genesis 9:6, whoever sheds human blood, by human shall their blood be shed. For in the image of God has God made mankind. Throughout the Word of God, this has never been revoked. It's never been said, it used to be that way, now it's another way. In fact, and my wife and I were talking about this morning, Jesus never one time questioned Pilate's right to put him to death. He didn't say, yo, you can't do this. Because Pilate had every legal right to do it. In fact, in the New Testament, it says in Romans chapter 13, 1, and then follow up in verse 4, let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which is God established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Verse 4, for the one in authority is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for rulers do not bear the sword for no reason. They are God's servants, agents of wrath, to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. And there are people who argue that the death penalty is an deterrent. Well, it's a deterrent for the one they put to death. He's not going to commit any more murders. And so it's one of those things, and I'll be honest with you, Joanna and I worked on a case we're going to trial here sometime in the next few months. We're going to go to trial, and it's a death penalty case. And I'll be honest with you, if they put this guy to death, he's the kind of guy this was made for, this law was made for. What he did to that person is wrong, and he deserves to die for it. Now, does that mean I don't have compassion on him? No, I want him to meet Christ. I want him to meet his Savior. But that doesn't change the fact that in the state of California, our laws say that if you commit a murder, and if you do it under the right circumstances, your life will be required of you. Now, unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on how you look at it, it takes a long time for that to happen in California. They have so many appeals, we run the property and evidence room at the sheriff's office. If you commit a murder and you're convicted by a jury of your peers, anything that has DNA, we have to hold on to it until you either get out of prison or die, one of the two. So I have things in my evidence room I'm never going to get rid of as long as these people are alive, because that's the law. I have to keep it there in case they're wrongly accused. I found this week. Anytime society backs off from punishing its criminals, it's like the lamb defending the lion's right to eat. Some of you are so upset at me right now. I can't believe you said that. If that's the first time I've made you mad, you either haven't been listening or it's your first Sunday. Let's go on next one. Number 3, it doesn't apply to self-defense. Exodus 22:2, if a thief is caught breaking in at night and has struck a fatal blow, the defender is not guilty of bloodshed. Somebody comes in and threatens your life, and you end up taking their life trying to protect yourself or your family. Now, certain things in California, they disagree necessarily. If somebody's in your backyard, you don't get to shoot at them. Well, he's in the backyard. Well, this is in Texas. You can't just shoot him. Texas, you can. I think in Texas, it's encouraged. Am I right, John? Am I right? Yeah. In Texas, like, what? He was in your backyard. Why didn't you shoot him? Well, I was loading, but he got out of there fast. I don't know. But in California, if somebody's in your house and you can say that you were afraid, you have the right to defend yourself. Not only that, God says if they're in your house and they shouldn't be, and they do, and you do something to them, you're not on the hook. Fourth place it doesn't count is a declaration of war. I had a person say, well, God said thou shalt not kill, and so all of our soldiers are breaking God's law. Okay, I love it when intelligent people say stupid things. Because King David was known as a man after God's own heart. And what was the chorus when he ran into town? Saul has killed his thousands. David's killed his 10,000s. See, if you're doing it for a righteous cause, for a righteous reason, and it's a declared kind of thing, then God says, you know what? That's part of doing business. That's part of protecting your country, your freedom. In fact, David killed many people. when God said he was displeased with David was when he killed one man for the wrong reason. And that was when he killed Bathsheba's husband Uriah. It's an inescapable fact of countries and all that other stuff is that we are going to protect what God has given us. And see, and that makes us uncomfortable. And war should make us uncomfortable. Look, because I defend the right that we have to go to war doesn't mean I like war. Nobody likes war. I mean, unless you're just like a madman, nobody likes war. War hurts. War causes pain and suffering. And it hurts innocence. But it is part of having a country. In fact, you know what's worse than war? Losing your freedom. All right, so what does it include? First of all, it includes intentional killing, what we call homicide. Tens of thousands of people are killed in America every year in cold blood. That's two or three people every hour of every day. And they're killed for stupid things. A drug deal gone bad, or husbands and wives fighting over something. I was telling somebody this week that Lynette and I have been married 30 years in September. We have never one time thought of divorcing each other. She has thought of killing me many times. But she's never called the lawyer because it's cheaper just to shoot me. It really is. The lawyers are real expensive and bullets are cheap. She doesn't know where any of my guns are, by the way. I'm scared. If you look at the five biggest cities in the United States and you compare their murder rates, they have more homicidal deaths than we have in war. More people have died on the streets of Miami, Los Angeles, Washington, D.C., New York, and I think the fifth one is somewhere in Texas. I think it's Houston. Okay? More people have died there in those five cities than in a war where they're trying to kill each other. Now put that together in your head. God said, you cannot take the life of another person. Now, again, we just talked about the reasons where that doesn't apply. But if I'm arguing with you, I don't get to just walk up and shoot you. In fact, Genesis 6:13, God said to Noah, I'm going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I'm surely going to destroy both them and the earth. And if you know what happens after this verse, God sends a big flood and he wipes everybody out. He basically says, you know what, let's start over again. Jesus, though, said that in the last days, it would be just like in the days of Noah. And it is. The reason I have a job at the sheriff's office is because it's violent out there. People hurt each other. People do bad things. You are not allowed to take the life of another person just because they made you mad. That's homicide. And this next one is a little sensitive, and I want you to listen very carefully to me. The next one is suicide. You can't take your own life either. Now, before I go any further, I want you to know, I almost guarantee you that in a room this size, some of you have been touched by suicide. That's happened to a friend. It's happened to a loved one. You may have thought of it yourself. Your life is not your own. Your life does not belong to you. It's God's. You have no right to take your own life. You with me? And here's the thing. You know, and again, I guess because the nature of this stuff, what I do for a living is coming up a lot. But I have been to suicide scenes, and I have yet to look at the person and feel, it's just weird. You know, you're there to do your job, and you look at the person and say, oh, that's a shame, but it's not gut-wrenching. What's gut-wrenching are the cries of the people as I'm walking into their backyard or into their house. Until you've heard the wail of a 13-year-old kid because his dad's just committed suicide, you don't want that in your head. The things that bother me about my job are not walking in and seeing a dead body. That's just the way it is. What hurts are the people who are there. I had to stand next to a gurney where people that I knew crowded around the life of a young woman who had killed herself. And the mother and her boyfriend and the little kids sat around the gurney where this lady's body was covered in a body bag. And they all wept and they all said the same thing. What did we do wrong? If you get the idea that killing yourself makes it all better, you're not thinking, because it doesn't make it all better. In fact, it makes it worse for the people around you, the people you leave behind. Every year in America, 400,000 people attempt to take their own life and 30,000 succeed. 5,000 of those are teenagers. When I was 16, I had a 65 Rambler Classic. It looked like a refrigerator tipped on its side. It was just a big white box. The only difference was refrigerators are cold inside. My car didn't have air conditioning. And the light didn't work when you opened the door. Other than that, looked like a refrigerator. I was depressed one night coming down, I think it was Clark. I was depressed and I thought, you know what, I'm just going to kill myself. And I headed my car toward a telephone pole. And I chickened out at the last second. And I creased my fender. So now, whatever I was depressed about, I had to be depressed about the fact that I messed up my car, too. Now, here's the thing. I'm 52 years old. I was 16 then. From that moment on, if I had killed myself at 16, I would have missed out on the joy of being one of the pastors of Remnant Church. I would have missed out on meeting my wife, who I love more than life itself. I would have missed the birth of my two babies. I would have missed the birth of my grandson. I've stood on the edge of an active volcano in Nicaragua and looked down inside. I've owned some cool cars. I've had a lot of fun since I was 16, and I could have had it all go bye-bye in a moment, because I thought that whatever was bugging me then was more important than whatever was going to come later. And here's the sad thing. I don't even remember what I was upset about. All of those things I would have missed out on, and I can't even remember why I was mad. I don't care how bad today is, the sun's coming up tomorrow. I don't care how bad you think things are, it can always get better. 1 Corinthians 10:13, this is a promise. It says, no temptation has overtaken you except what's common to mankind. And look at this. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. Suicide doesn't end it all. In fact, when you're finished, you're going to face God. Now, can a Christian commit suicide? Yeah. Are there consequences? Don't know. You really want to take that chance? You really want to have your final act be the sin of taking a life that doesn't belong to you? Now, I know there are mental illness and things like that that happen with that, and obviously those are places we put those people in the hands of God. But I'm telling you, we need to strive for something better. And if you feel like you can't go on any further, all that means is that you're trying to do it and you're not letting God. Look, you can't do it yourself, but God can. Amen? And I know you're going to feel that way. Teenagers, I've seen it. Think. Stop. Call me. Middle of the night, call me. Jerry, I'm dealing with this. And I'll tell you, before you do something stupid, come talk to me. See, because I had my experience. I know what happens afterward. You're on the cusp of your life. Every one of you, you don't know what's next. And if you haven't had a grandbaby yet, dude, you got to stick around for that, because that's the coolest thing ever. The next one, infanticide. Infanticide is a fancy word for abortion. In 1973, our nation made it legal to abort your child. Tens of millions of people have done so. I think it's ironic, by the way, that we're talking about all the stuff with Medicare and Social Security and all that stuff. And I read a study a few years ago that said that if all the babies that had been aborted were put into the workforce, there would be more than enough funding for Social Security now. I don't know how true that is, but I do think it's ironic. Life begins at conception. About 3,000 babies a day are murdered in our society. 1,000 babies a day. Now, look, and again, this is one of those places we have to be sensitive. And ladies, if you have had an abortion, I'm not here to heap anything on you today. It's not my place. It's not my job. But you're actually the best argument. Because I guarantee you, you've had second thoughts. I guarantee you've had thoughts about that poor child. That's okay. God forgives you. And you need to listen very carefully to me, ladies. If that's happened in your life, and if you've asked God to forgive you, you are forgiven, and that is not held against you anymore. Praise God. You with me? So don't think that I'm condemning you. I'm not. But if you're here today, and you got a bun in the oven, you think, well, I don't really want to have this kid. You don't get to. I'll never forget. Remember Morgan Fairchild, the blonde actress? She was on this big abortion rally, this big anti-abortion rally. I'll never forget this. Oh, and we want America to stay out of our bedrooms. Well, I don't want to be in Morgan Fairchild's bedroom, but I do want to be in the operating room when she's going to kill a baby that shouldn't die. See the difference? Whatever she decides to do on her own time, look, you can do Morgan on your own time, but when he comes to taking the life of a baby, that's a whole other matter. And she's talking about how every woman should have a right to have an abortion, and she boasted about the fact that she had had one. And then, honest to goodness, later that night, I was in the news, later that night she was on the Arsenio Hall show. I kid you not. She talked about how she had spent $2,000 to take a guinea pig to the vet. And I remember looking at the television and thinking, you're just out of your mind. Your priorities are all out of whack. It's okay to kill a baby, meanwhile a guinea pig, which basically is a disposable item. No, not Sparky. Yeah, Sparky. And you're spending $2,000 on a $30 guinea pig, you need to have your head examined. I'm not making any points with the animal rights people here today, am I? This is. PETA's going to listen to the tape of this, and there are going to be posters all over. Get the fat guy. In 1967, the first International Congress on Abortion was held in Washington, D.C., 6 years before abortion became legal. 6 years. At that conference, there were 60 major authorities from the fields of medicine, ethics, law, and social sciences. After several days of meeting, this was their official statement. I want you to listen to this. It passed with only one dissenting vote, by the way. It said, the majority of our group could find no point in time between conception and the birth of an infant at which we could say that the fetus is not a human life. The changes occurring between implantation, a six-week embryo, a six-month fetus, and a one-week-old child, a mature adult, are mere stages of development. Look, they try to call, what's a fetus? No, it's a baby. And it's cells that are dividing. It's a zygote. I love that word, zygote. And it is. Scientifically, it's a zygote. It's a baby zygote. And if you look at the development of a six-week-old baby, We made a couple of matches in our units this week on fingerprints. You know when fingerprints start forming? Before your hands form, your fingerprints start forming. In fact, look what God said, Jeremiah 1:5. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. The Greek word for infant is brephos. It's used 8 times in Scripture. And I want you, this is the way the Scripture puts it. 6 times brephos is used for a child that's already born, and 2 times for a child still in the womb. When God wrote the Bible, he didn't see the difference between a baby in its mother's womb and a baby on the ground. No difference. So why is abortion murder? Well, maybe because the victim's totally helpless. The victim's unquestionably innocent. Because it's always a calculated, premeditated murder. Because it's often painful, torturous for the babies. Have you ever seen the pictures of a baby that's been aborted through saline abortion? It's brutal. They come out all burned, disfigured. If you've ever seen a cutterage where they actually stick a tube in and suck the baby out, and chop it into little pieces, and then they have to reassemble the baby to make sure they didn't leave any pieces left in the mother. I'm sorry, but you can't call that anything but barbaric. Now, There's one last killing, and this is one where, and a lot of you said, okay, whew, all right, I'm okay. I haven't killed anybody yet. I haven't murdered. I did shoot a cat, but I missed him, so I, that's okay. I haven't had an abortion, I haven't blah, blah, blah. Well, this is the one where we all get in it, and that is an inward killing. See, here's what Jesus had to say about this verse. Matthew chapter 5, verse 21 through 22. You've heard it was said to the people long ago, you shall not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. Okay, and that's kind of what we've been talking about. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to a brother or sister, raka, or idiot, or stupid, is answerable to the court, and anyone who says you fool will be in danger of the fire of hell. I'm going to preach the rest of the sermon now facing the back of the church because I don't want anybody thinking I'm talking to them. I lied. I'm turning on my face, y'all. Yeah. But do know that I'm looking through these glasses and I may not be able to actually see you if you're on the edges. Mark chapter 7, verse 21 and 23. For it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come. Sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed. Now listen to that. And okay, we get those. Malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and defile a person. That's a laundry list of some really bad stuff. Sexual immorality, theft, murder. All right, we're okay there. Adultery, yeah, I haven't committed adultery. Greed, well, it's getting a little tighter now, isn't it? Malice. What is malice? Malice is hatred. Malice is wanting something bad to happen to somebody. I have to repent of this every time I see the New England Patriots play. I malice in my heart. Deceit, which is lying, lewdness, just being dirty. Envy, slander, talking trash about somebody. In fact, tomorrow when you go to work and you want to tell that juicy story you found out over the weekend about so-and-so, did you hear what so-and-so's doing? I want you to remember that that story is coming from inside of you and it defiles you. Wow. Say amen or ouch. Yeah, pretty much that was for sure. That was an ouch moment. Yeah, Rita. No, there's more. All of you came to, I can't wait to go to church today. Now you're like, I can't wait to get out of here. I have malice in my heart toward that guy. You have to love me or you can't go to heaven. Ah, see? Okay. Look at this one, 1 John 3:15. This is really going to hurt. I'll just let you read that on your own there for a minute. Wow. Wow. In fact, just say it with me. Wow. Wow. Say it upside down. Mom. Oh, wait, that's different. Okay. Say it inside out. Whoa. All right. I don't know where this stuff comes from. It's frightening. 1 John 3:15, anyone who hates a brother or sister is a murderer. Okay, now let me ask you if you killed anybody this week. Several, yeah, exactly. Usually on Dogwood on my way home from somewhere. Because I'm pretty sure I slammed him, and I'm pretty sure... Anyone who hates a... Now look at this. This isn't even some like really bad guy. This is a brother or sister. Anyone who hates a brother or sister is a murderer. If you've ever wished someone dead, if you've ever hated someone, Jesus said you're guilty of murder. Our world is full of hatred. I read a story about a lady who got bit by a rabid dog. And the doctor said, all right, said, I got bad news for you. We're going to give you the little shots thing and the medicine, but we're not sure it'll fix you and you're contagious. So she picked out a piece of paper and a pencil. She started writing real furiously. And the doctor said, "Is that your will?" She said, "No, it's a list of people I'm going to bite." She was a murderer. See, whatever's in your heart is going to come out. If you're a murderer in your heart, it's going to come out, either in your words or in your actions. If you're an adulterer in your heart, it's going to come out in actions. If you're a bad person in your heart, it's going to come out. Revelation 21:8 says, "The cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts." Oh, you know, like Ouija boards or astrology. I'm a Pisces. Yeah, no, you're in trouble. It amazes me when I see Christians tweeting their horoscope for the day. Really? Really? Why don't you just go see a witch or a mind reader while you're at it? A palm reader. I'll read your palm. You ever read somebody's palm when they were a kid? We used to do that all the time. "Let me read your palm." "Oh, it says you're going to have a swimming pool." And you spit on their hand. You ever get the feeling I was not a real likable kid? The cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts. We'll go on. The idolaters and all liars. Wow. Okay. Think about that one next time, huh? And all liars. They will be consigned to the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. The fiery lake of burning sulfur is not the Salton Sea. I mean, it's a lot worse than that. See, here's the thing, though. Guys, let's be honest. We're all murderers. We're all murderers. And we need to be forgiven. We all have had places where we have not been godly. And we need to be forgiven. Remember when we were talking about how Ted Turner said the Ten Commandments don't apply to today's world? You think they do now? Every single one of these messages, I've walked away and went, I should have stayed home. And again, and I've said this before, I'll keep saying this, I don't feel sorry for you having to listen to this message today. I've lived with this message for a week. I've had to walk around with this thing for a week. I knew what was coming. So I had to live with it for 7 days, 6 days. You had to live with it for 30 minutes. Okay? You shall not murder. And that means in every forum. That means in our interpersonal relationships. And guys, that's the biggest application for us. How are you treating the people around you? Are you talking bad about people? Are you loving them? Are you being godly in the way you deal with people? We're all murderers, but we can be forgiven. Amen? I am reaching
from the depths of my soul. You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us at remnantchurchonline.com.